The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the prophecy of Amos, the 6th chapter. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calne and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms, or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, the 6th chapter. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith, and pierce themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today is one of those days again where you finish the gospel reading and this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. It doesn't feel very gospel-y talking about a man trapped in hell who wishes he could have a little bit of peace, a little bit of comfort. But for you and for me, for those who hear the word of God as opposed to the rich man who is not named in our gospel reading, for those who hear the word of God and take it to heart, the gospel is that you have a far different future ahead of you, a far greater one. I want to focus especially, though, on the final verse of what was read for us in Luke 16. Abraham is talking to the rich man who is in hell and looking up to him. And he says, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Perhaps when we try to describe the Bible sometimes and we try to summarize all of the Bible in a short amount of time, we might do it in a way that is not necessarily as full and clear as it could be. I know that I myself sometimes have said in the past, oh yeah, you know, Old Testament, like where God's laws are, and the New Testament where the gospel is, and the promise of Jesus is there. Well, that's not really quite true now, is it? All of God's word is filled with what we in the Lutheran Church always like to, you know, refer to as law and gospel. All of God's word is filled with that which would call us back to our God in repentance, and also the gospel, which reminds us that we are not saved by our own good works, but rather God's merciful goodness. When he says to you and to me, where you might be a poor, miserable sinner, I have sent my son Jesus to die in your place and to make you a saved one. Now, again, this is all very big, and I feel like we're talking about the whole Bible. I said I want to focus on one verse, and then I immediately jump into, well, the whole Bible says, I apologize. That one verse, though, is pretty clear, that we can hear about salvation through Moses and the prophets. Turns out that the Old Testament is not just laws that tell us you're a bad person. God's word from the beginning has been filled with his love for his people that he's created. God has reminded his people throughout history, please trust in me, rely on me. Do not try to do things on your own. Do not try to think more greatly of yourself than you ought to be. Understand that you are indeed a sinner who is in need of salvation. And don't just understand that, but know that I will bring salvation to you. I will give it to you as a gift. All the people of Old Testament times who did not know exactly what Jesus would come to do in living a perfect life, explaining God's word, dying on the cross for our sins, and then miraculously rising from the grave 3 days later, even though they didn't know that, they sure had the promises of God, which reminded them time and again, I am faithful. I promise to you that I will make a place for you. There will be a Savior. There will be a Messiah. This story that Jesus shares, this parable of the rich man and Lazarus, we have just one reading from Amos chapter 6. For those who enjoyed going through the first three books of the Minor Prophets with me this summer during our Bible study time, this is only a small little taste of how much wrath is talked about for those who continue to walk away from God. Just seven verses, and you kind of get the picture of it. Woe to those! Sounded familiar. We heard it several times. To those who are not following God and not, in this situation, sad about the death of those who should have lived, who should have had eternal life, woe to all those who do not realize how much is at stake here. For all those who would sit in comfort, in fine, luxurious homes, what was it here specifically, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils. We've got pretty good wine here at Christ the Vine, but I have not yet pulled out a breakfast bowl and just gone to town on it. For all those who would find their pleasure and their joy in this life alone, in the treasures they could store up, in the life they could lavish upon themselves, woe to those people. Now I will say then in our epistle reading in 1 Timothy 6, I do love that we have in verse 10 there, the super misquoted verse of the Bible, money is the root of all evil. Well, not quite. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Paul, God in his word, continues to reach out and remind us that the love of all of these things, of wealth, of extravagance, that is a root of all kinds of evil that hurts specifically the individual who's going after them. It's not it's not spoken as this awful, hey, you rich person over there, you're an awful person. No. Beware of the root of all kinds of evil, which is the love of money, the love of self, the love of gathering for ourselves all of these rich treasures. This is a problem for each individual. Taking that to then the story of, we have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You have the wealthy man, he and his brothers living in fine extravagance, and Lazarus who's just outside the door wishing to have even a crumb of bread. He suffered in the life he led, but then for all eternity, he has great riches. He has a great and wonderful feast. Everything he didn't have in life, he has it even far greater in eternity than you could ever find in life itself. So then the story of the daily envisionment of the rich man walking past Lazarus, hitting the snooze button, I like that, on taking care of him and sharing with him. They were stabbing themselves with their very own pangs of sadness and frustration, pierced to their very soul in this love of money that they had. Now then, this all sounds pretty awful, right? Praise be to Christ. I promise there's gospel in this, don't worry. The gospel is for two individuals, specifically those at the end of 1 Timothy 6, those who would be rich in good works. As for those that are rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. So don't think more of yourself. I am clearly the best at life, that I have all these great and wonderful things. And also, don't set your hope on those things that you have, those things that you own. Don't let that become your deepest love. Now, I say that as, you know, I would be easy enough to say, talk about, I was sharing a story with someone who's considering being a pastor. And he said, so you guys homeschool your family and you have one salary as a pastor. How does it work financially for you guys? Are you okay? I said, well, before this, I did youth ministry in Los Angeles, California on half of a pastor's salary, and God provided for us even then. So we're doing great now. We're living lavishly. We have name brand things. Ooh. Yeah. We all in this room are lavishly wealthy in comparison to many, 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 many throughout our own town, our own communities, and throughout the world. We are the wealthy ones. We should not be haughty in how we're able to get things. God has provided for each of us in different ways and in different amounts. And we should not put our hope and certainty on those things that we do own, those things that we do have. Rather, we should be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, and thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life. By being rich in good works, not rich in finances or possessions, rather than stabbing yourself with these pangs of a love for money, you're preparing yourself to experience all of the goodness that God has for you in heaven. You know, I had a youth minister back when I was a kid who, whenever we would do something nice and they'd be there like cleaning up chairs at the end of a church event, he'd always say, you know, just another jewel in your crown in heaven. To which I joked, I don't know, man, my neck's going to start hurting if I have too many more jewels here. The great thing is we have a great and wonderful life to look forward to in all eternity. We can give up small things here and there. We can give up large things here and there. We can feel uncomfortable in this life, knowing that there is far greater comfort to come. And of course, we're not doing it for that purpose. You have to be really careful here. Don't be haughty. Like, oh, well, I give so much. I'm going to have many jewels in my crown. We trust that the God who provides for us in this life, in all the things that we need, will be true to his promise, and he will provide even greater in the future. Now then, there's also this other person who's blessed in this story. For all those who are suffering in this life, for all those who do go through pain and despair, discomfort, concern about where the next meal will come from, those who have lived paycheck to paycheck, those who've lived beyond that, we know that God will continue to provide, and it can be hard to feel that way. But know that the pains of this life are indeed temporary. We also know that it can be hard to say it this way, for those who are in need to be haughty, to say, oh, I don't need to reach out for assistance. I've been that person too, where we have difficulty saying, I would like some help, I need some help. We are surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ here. This church on earth serves to indeed bring people to God, but also share the love of God with others. I'm so thankful for the church family that we have that continues to bless us. I couldn't put my Bible down on my desk when I came into my office because there's so many baby shower gifts that still continue to come in. Thank you for your generosity, truly. At some point, I'll move my books out of the way so there's more room for stuff. It'll be great. But truly, whether we have much, whether we're in want, we have a God who provides for us, and he does use his church on earth to provide for others. So wherever you find yourself, whether you are in need or whether you have the ability to help those in need, listen to God's call on your heart to share that with others. And know that this is all part of what we do as those who understand that we are saved by Jesus Christ. I told you this is all stemming from verse 31 about Moses and prophets and someone rising from the dead, and we haven't got much of that. But truly, everything I've said stems from this. All the people of the Old Testament, they knew their God would provide. All of his faithful followers, they would trust in him. They had the words of Moses. They had the words of the prophets that would say, repent where you need to be in repentance. Come to God asking for forgiveness. And trust that he who is faithful will forgive you and provide for you. How blessed are we that we get to be the people who not only have Moses and the prophets to listen to, but we can be convinced because someone has risen from the dead. For those who have faith in God, for those who have faith that he will provide, we can look to the cross and the empty tomb to know that a God who should give wrath and anger to those who would sin against him has chosen to mercifully show his love, his compassion, and his great provision, not just for things in this life, but things for eternity through our Savior Jesus Christ. This sad story of a man in hell looking up to Abraham and Lazarus reminds us that that is not our place. You have a risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are called, as God's children, to follow in sharing love and compassion, to receive love and compassion where it is given, and to know that God will continue to provide for all things. You have his word, literally and figuratively. In his word, you have God's word. He is faithful. He will provide for you now. He will provide for you in all eternity. And because of this, the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.